My name is Denis Jaakin. I am a rehabilitation and sports physician, executive board member of the European Paralympic Committee, and international classifier in para taekwondo and power chair hockey. In this editorial, I would like to present to you classification in Paralympic sports, the relationship between impairment and participation. . 2020 is an Olympic and Paralympic year. Classification of athletes is one of the most challenging issues in Paralympic sports. It aims to determine minimal eligibility and to separate athletes into groups with similar activity limitations in their specific sports in order to minimize the impact of impairments on sport performances. The first well-organized sports competition for athletes with physical limitations were the Stoke-Mandeville Games in 1948. These games were open to athletes with spinal cord injury only. The athletes were categorized based on the level of their injury, essentially a medical classification. In later Paralympic Games, athletes with amputation, visual disabilities, or cerebral palsy were also allowed to participate, but were still classified according to diagnosis regardless of the sport in which they competed. The Barcelona Paralympic Games in 1992 were a major milestone. First, the International Paralympic Committee, the IPC, was founded as the body responsible for organizing the Games with the mission of enabling Paralympic athletes to achieve sporting excellence and inspire the world. Furthermore, a fundamental change was introduced in the classification strategy, moving from a medical model to a more functional sports-related approach, aiming to capture the influence of the disability on sport performance. In this way, athletes with different medical diagnoses but similar sporting opportunities in a specific sport could be classified in the same class and compete together, making competitions fairer and more attractive. Athletes were to be classified in every sport in which they participated, the classification being sport-specific and therefore possibly different for several sports for the same athlete. As a result, other performance indices have become more important than the impairment itself to achieve better performance, like psychological profile, individual talent, or the training volume. In 2009, an important position statement was published by Sean Tweedy and Ivan Landewijk about the scientific rationale underlying classification in Paralympic sport. It became the basis for a new IPC strategy in classification of health and sports-related functioning, incorporating 10 impairments from the International Classification of Functioning, Disability and Health, the ICF. These 10 impairments are impaired muscle power, impaired passive range of motion, limb deficiency, leg length difference, short stature, hypertonia, ataxia, atetosis, visual impairment, and intellectual impairment. The process and the rules of the Paralympic sport classification system are now incorporated within the IPC classification code and in the sport rules of the various Paralympic and some non-Paralympic sports. Every sport organizes its own assessment sessions in accordance to the IPC code and holds a list of international certified medical, paramedical and technical classifiers, as well as an up-to-date master list of classified athletes. The classification procedure mainly consists of an assessment of each athlete to provide him or her with a sport class and a sport class status in each particular sport. During the IPC VISTA Congress in 2019, it was strongly recommended to further develop an evidence base for the classification system. In particular, there is a need for research on the relationship between the selected 10 ICF impairments and sport-specific determinants of performance in every Paralympic sport. In some sports, like para-athletics, athletes with coordination problems related to hypertonia, ataxia, or atetosis are currently allocated to different classes from athletes with other impairments. But in some other sports, like para-dance sport or wheelchair basketball, they are compared with athletes with other impairments. And this results in poorer chances in competition for people with cerebral palsy who have to deal with more general motor dysfunction. Evidence-based classification research must include studies of the relationship between impairments and such basic sporting skills as hitting, running, performing in water, wheelchair racing, dribbling, throwing, and catching. Trunk control deserves a special focus, as it is often a key element in the performance of sitting sports.